You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, and this is The Bike Show. Gone away. You'd thought there was no more bike show. That was the tenor of one or two emails I'd received from anxious listeners on the FM and on the podcast, but we're back for the summer season. And we're kicking off the summer season with a show featuring some very long bike rides, well, longer than the ones that I'm used to doing around town. Before we delve into epic bike rides, it's worth mentioning that it is, of course, Bike Week this week. It's excellent timing that we return to the airwaves, UK's Bike Week. Something that's gone through a little bit of an evolution over the years. Not quite sure what it means this year, but essentially Bike Week is just an excuse to get out and do something if you're into bicycles. And there are lots of little events going on. I don't think there's any big, great big grandstanding thing in Trafalgar Square, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing. Keep it local. A couple of events that I'd like to pick out for you are actually on the subject of long bicycle rides is a talk by Alistair Humphreys in store at Stamford's, the best travel and maps shop in London, down there in Longacre. And Alistair has come back from cycling 46,000 kilometres around the world, and he's giving a talk about that tomorrow evening. That's Tuesday evening, 17th of June. It does cost £2 to get in, and you can make a booking on 0207 836 1321. Definitely worth going along for that. I hear that his talks are rather brilliant. And the other thing which is beginning kind of with Bike Week later this week, but going on for the whole of the next month, is a series of talks and bike rides organised by the London Festival of Architecture and Field and Clegg Bradley Studios, the firm of architects who are particularly into their bike riding. And there's a really fantastic programme. It's very hard to pick out particular highlights, but I would draw your attention to a ride about public spaces in politics, led by Emily Thornbury, MP, on Sunday the 6th of July. Beneath the City Streets is being led by the redoubtable Barry Mason of Southwark Cyclists. That's on the 12th of July, 2 till 6. Rediscovering Central London's Public Realm, a provocative look at London's public spaces from Professor Richard Burdett, one of the city's most eminent advisors on the public space and architecture. Just a few of the excellent rides, and I'll put a link to the full programme on the Bike Show's website, which is thebikeshow.net. Or just Google The Bike Show, because I think The Bike Show pretty much comes up on the top of the Google ratings. Such is our renown these days. But it's to the very long bike rides that is the main feature of this show this week that we now turn. And I happened to be in March out in southern Thailand, and I just happened by complete chance to come upon a family who were cycling from Singapore up to China. They were around about halfway along. And the interesting thing about this family is that they were with two young children, sort of one 4 years old and one 17 months old, being towed along in a trailer and seeming to have an absolute fantastic time. Anyway, the name of the couple is Ryan and Alicia Witten, and I asked them what they were doing in the middle of Thailand on bicycles.
We started in Singapore and we're headed to China, so we haven't done about a total of about 1700 kilometers, but we've kind of had a couple sections in Malaysia that we skipped with a bus because the traffic got really crazy. So yeah.
And it's important to mention that we are in one of the hottest parts of the year in Southeast Asia, and you're not just traveling with yourselves, but with two children.
Yeah, and we were planning on moving a little quicker, so we thought it would still be cool, the cool time of year, but we started January 10th, and we end up kind of getting stuck certain places, so we'll, like, stay on an island for a week, or we don't cycle constantly. We probably cycle maybe half the time, and then the other half of the time we were doing whatever, you know, just relaxing and vacationing, so.
And what was the idea for the journey?
I think life got kind of stressful back home with the business, and we wanted to simplify our lives and kind of just like slow down and enjoy new people that we might meet and kind of see the world. So,
and where are you from?
Colorado, in America.
Uh-huh. So why this part of the world?
We've never been to Asia. We've traveled a lot in Europe and South America, but never Asia. So.
So you did the thing of arriving in the airport in Singapore, right, and just rolling off from the airport front gates and thinking, what side of the road do they even drive on?
Yeah, it was pretty funny because in Colorado when we left, we were leaving during a big snowstorm, and we were wearing sandals because we knew we'd never need our boots, so it was kind of funny walking through the snow to the airport, you know, in our sandals.
And so your children, how old are they and how have they been finding the journey?
We have two children, Jade and Eva, and Jade is 4 years old and Eva is about 17 months, and they're doing all right. They're having a lot of fun. Jade, our older daughter, she especially loves swimming. I think she'll be a fish one day. She'll probably scuba dive when she gets older, but she's having a lot of fun on the beaches, and Eva's having a lot of fun as well.
I have a Max, and I can see some fish. We was on a boat, and we was going on a scuba dive trip boat, and I saw some beautiful fish.
Which was your favorite fish?
Nemo. I saw beautiful fishies, but I saw, like, pokey things. They're like, but they sting you, but they're black. They have stingy on.
Oh, sea urchins, maybe, yeah. Where
did you go swimming yesterday, Jay? Remember in the stream, waterfalls and streams?
Oh, yeah. I went swimming where there's waterfalls and water caves, and I was going swimming in there, and I saw some beautiful fishies, but...
And what do you think about the cycling? Does it get boring sitting in the back on the trailer, or is it fun?
Some parts, because I'm getting a little bit hot, getting boring, getting hot. But sometimes I like being in the trailer because Daddy gives me like some special stuff and I don't know.
Like ice cream
and everything.
And so how have you fared with the heat? Because it has been very hot, right?
You kind of make do. I think recently it's been hotter than when we started, because we were started in Malaysia, which was kind of their monsoon, so lots of cloudy weather. But there's also advantages to the heat, because we don't have to worry about being cold at night, because we camp quite a bit, and we don't have to worry. So, but Yeah, we kind of make a plan every day. We'll say we're going to cycle to here and take a long break. So you have to kind of deal with it, you know.
So you're getting up early in the mornings, making the most of the cool of the mornings, if there is much cool.
Yeah, yeah. We take a lot of breaks, you know. We're not, like, just here to try to prove anything, cycle from one place to the next. It's more of just kind of become a lifestyle, and we love to cycle. So it's kind of a way of getting... every time we're on our bikes, we meet so many people. Like, last night, we just kind of rolled into this little town, and people invited us to stay with them, and we set up... I mean, this happens time and time again, especially with the kids. And then they fed us and, you know, fed us breakfast again this morning and sent us off with food. So I've met more people on this trip than I ever have on any trip when I was by myself or without kids, because we just, everywhere we go, people are so hospitable. And we've had like a weekend time where we stayed at different people's houses and never had to pay for a hotel. And so it's pretty exciting sometimes.
And how about the traffic conditions?
We've had a couple places in Malaysia where the traffic was pretty heavy. We've never had anybody run us off the road. People have been really courteous as far as giving us space. And I think in Malaysia, that's why we took a bus just to get past some certain sections, because it wasn't very nice cycling. But Thailand here has been great. I mean, we've been able to pick some good routes, and a lot of it is just staying off some of the real main highways, but it's been really good. Nice old shoulders, and you know, it hasn't been a problem at all.
Well, we all know, as Lance Armstrong says, it's not about the bike, but can we take a quick look at your bikes?
Yeah.
Very nice to see the flying the flag of English leather saddles here with the Brooks B17 on the back there. But they're basically classic kind of touring bikes, really.
They're actually a steel bike frame, and I built the bikes up because you wanted more for comfort and durability. You're not.
Oh, so you built them yourself?
Yeah, I bought the frame and then bought all the parts separate and mm-hmm. built them, which was kind of fun because then you know everything that's going on.
Yeah.
I did a tour trip once before, and my wheels were constantly out of true, and I had lots of problems and not very comfort, so I decided just to spend the extra time and money to get exactly what I wanted this time.
Yeah, and so you've got the bar end shifters, so which are, I guess make a little bit more sense in terms of repair and that kind of thing.
Everything's kind of for comfort and for durability. You know, the wheels are lots of spokes, so they're really strong, and we have not hardly had a serious bike issue yet. We've done about 1,600 kilometers, nothing. I mean, the wheels have stayed perfectly true. I haven't had a flat yet, so.
Yeah, yeah. And the trailer here is attached to the rear triangle, not to the seat post.
Yeah, the kids definitely have it the best. I mean, it's a pretty luxurious ride back there, and they have the full seat belt harnesses, so they're pretty safe.
Yeah.
So they sleep load back there. So they usually come out. A lot of times they're in pretty good mood because they had a long nap.
Okay, and you can keep them out of the sun, can you? Because that's important.
Yeah, we adjust this thing down just to the little shade thing. So there's times that, like today, we stopped once in the mountain pass and they're getting hot, and we stood in the shade and put water on their heads and made sure everybody stayed cool. So.
And so before you left, I mean, Colorado is known for outdoor types and lots of cyclists, but did people think you were crazy? I mean, your family and taking us two small children out into the hottest part of the tropics. I mean, do they think that you ought to be reported to the Child Protection League?
They all know we absolutely love traveling and meeting interesting people, so you know, they were all for it, and they all, a lot of them, love to travel as well. But they did think we were a little bit wacko, but they knew that about us as well.
So people that didn't, I knew, would have a bad reaction. I just told them we were going to Thailand. I didn't tell them we were going on my bike.
So let's take a look at your bike. So you're carrying the non-human payload.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is?
Four people's crap.
Yeah, so that's four people's crap, as you put it. Front and back panniers and a great big backpack as well.
Yes.
Also sporting the Brooks saddle.
That's right.
We really like these, by the way. Once they get broken in, they're the best ever.
What sort of mileage have you been doing day to day?
Between, I guess our biggest day was 140 kilometers, and you know, usually like so 70 kilometers. So I say the average is between maybe 60 to 100. Uh-huh. We're not trying to go. You know, it all depends on the hills too, because it's pretty slow going when you get steep hills.
Yeah, I bet. And any punctures? Any serious mechanicals?
No. I think God's been really looking out for us, because that's pretty amazing.
And no punctures?
No, nothing.
Yeah, no punctures. So what tyres are you using?
We're using
the Schwalbe Marathon XR. Yeah, okay, there's a big plug going out for the Marathon XR.
Put some, like, the white stuff that goes inside, like puncture-resistant stuff. Okay. So, but yeah, I've been surprised, because last trip I had punctures daily. So, yeah, these tyres have been good to us.
And from here, I guess you're about halfway to China. Not even, actually. No.
We plan on taking a bus from here all the way to Bangkok. And I think we might take another bus into Cambodia, to Angkor Wat. And we might cycle around there. And then our next big cycle section is going to be through Laos. Because I hear the roads there are really... not too much traffic at all. So.
But there's also not too much tarmac on them either.
I think Laos is better. Like, Cambodia is supposed to be really rough. We're not going to cycle a whole lot, but Laos is supposed to have. I just talked to a cycler that was coming the other direction, and they said they had some really nice pavement and actually some good, decent quality roads. So, well, hopefully we'll find. We'll see what we find.
And so, when do you expect to head back home?
Right now, probably the end of June, and so we have pretty much 3 more months from. And we only bought a one-way ticket. We're going to probably buy a ticket here, maybe from Hong Kong or Bangkok, here pretty soon, because we didn't really want, like, a strict itinerary, so we're going to have to figure out. But we're kind of staying flexible as far as where we're going to go from here.
What would be your advice to others who maybe look at family like you and think, I want to do the same? I mean, you obviously know something about cycling and know something about bicycles. What do you think people need to know, and what should their attitude be to making a journey of this kind?
I think, first off, someone should try doing a lot at home. And then if they have, we did it at home. We every time we cycled, the kids were happy, we were happy, we really enjoyed it. So that might not be for everybody, because it's not always the highs, the good times are really good, and sometimes the hard times can be really hard. So it's been really, we've learned a lot, we've grown closer as a family, and it's been really, really a good trip.
So what have been some of the highs and the lows?
When you're struggling up a hill, that can be a low.
No, it's too hot. You get grumpy, you know. You're kind of short with each other.
But people like to, you're really a novelty going around with two kids. So sometimes you could be at a gas station, and people are so friendly, like they'll give you things, but sometimes you just want to be left alone, and the kids will be crying, and you'll have 6 or 7 people standing around asking you questions. Especially in Malaysia was that way. So sometimes you just want to tell people to go fishing or something, you know.
So you have kind of reporters from England coming up to you asking you if they can interview you for the radio. And so what would your advice be?
Well, I've learned a lot of patience, I think. Just kind of slow down in your mind and not expect too much. Just enjoy what you're given for the moment. You know, I think I've learned that a lot through this. So.
Well, thanks for talking, and very best of luck to you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, that was Ryan and Alicia Witten. And I haven't figured out if they made it up to China. If they're listening, or anyone who knows them's listening, drop us a line, bikeshow@gmail.com.
My name's Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance FM.
Well, before we turn to the next long ride, not quite as long as that tropical odyssey, here is some music.
Made of rubber, tin, and glue. I'm a chewing 86 of gum, listening to The Who. Oh, the bike that I ride was the sound for a girl. I never knew a name. I found out the world. A horn that I hold, made of rubber, tin, and glue. I'm a chewing 86 of gum, listening to The Who. I'm riding the bike of a ghost. It's the most, it's the toast of the town that I'm it's got friends, it's got gear, it's got a bed and a basket, which is natural.
Well, that was Bucky and the Bike That I Ride. And observant listeners to The Bike Show will, of course, know that we played the studio version of that song quite a couple of years ago now when we were looking at all the different songs that have been written about bicycling. I just came across that live version recorded in Bristol, I believe. They're a West Country band. And I think it rocks. It rocks. It didn't get such a good response from the jury when we did the jukebox jury for bike songs, but I think that was good. That was very good. So hats off to Bucky. And the next preview that we're going to have regarding the long bike ride that you might want to do at the end of this week is heading west also. It's a rather special ride for those people who maybe got a little bit of a taste for night riding, having taken part in the Dunwich Dynamo, the great cult ride that's been going for, I don't know, a dozen, 15 years now, which, you know, started off as a cult ride, but I think you could be excused, and I'm sure Barry Mason would excuse me for saying it's a little bit mainstream now. I mean, it's not quite London to Brighton, but it's getting that way. Anyway, there's nothing mainstream about Rolling to the Stones. This is a cult ride, 100%, and it's a ride from London, central London, leaving at about 9 o'clock, aiming to get on the night of the summer solstice, midsummer night, to Stonehenge for dawn. And I asked Darren, a bike messenger in London, who's led it successfully the last couple of years, and he's going to be leading it and making sure that everybody gets to the Stones on time, as long as they keep up with him, that is. I asked him to tell me more about the ride.
I think over the past few years it's turned into a bit of a courier tradition, with the idea being that you leave London at 9 o'clock from Hyde Park with a view to getting to the sunrise at 4:45 at Stonehenge.
And so why on this day?
Well, it's the summer solstice, so it's the longest day of the year and the shortest night. So there's a bit of a history there, obviously, with all the hippies and the travellers used to go there and have a summer solstice festival. I think it finished in the 80s with the Battle of the Beanfields, which is a fairly sorry historical moment. But in the last few years, they've relented a little bit and they've opened the Stones up. Once for the winter solstice, just before Christmas, and then once for the summer solstice. So there's only two nights of the year when you can actually go in and they take the fences down and you can touch the Stones. There's no amplified music, but it's a small festival anyway. Thousands of people turn up. Not so many travellers, but all sorts of people, really. You know, we won't turn up in time to see the Druid procession, which is a bit of a shame. But we will turn up in time for the sunrise, hopefully, which we have done for the last 2 years.
Talk us through the route.
Well, we start from Hyde Park at around about 9 o'clock, and then it's out through Notting Hill and through Shepherd's Bush. And then most of the route is the A30, actually, through the likes of Basingstoke. But by that, you know, by that time, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, there's no traffic on the road. So, yeah, it's about 83 miles.
So have you got cars screaming past you and trucks?
Come the morning, there's one final stretch, the A303, which you have to go along for a couple of miles. And there's a few lorries then, so it gets a bit hairy. But for about 80 miles, really, it's the middle of the night, you know, and all you can really hear is an owl screeching and maybe one or two cars will pass you. So it's pretty smooth and it's pretty quiet and it's pretty lovely, really.
And about how many people come along on the ride?
Well, this year, I don't know. I think it might be a little bit more popular this year, actually. There's a lot of buzz around the messaging community this year, so there's a lot of excitement and various things that are going on, including things to do with the London Courier Emergency Fund, and then a big event towards the end of the year, which is going to be London's Calling, which is a big 3-day sort of courier festival. So that's created a bit of a buzz, and it's created a bit more interest in this Stonehenge ride as well. So the last couple of years, actually, there's only been a small group, sort of 5 or 6, which, as it turns out, has been pretty good, because you can keep it pretty tight, because obviously you're watching the clock the whole time, and you have to get to the church on time, sort of thing. But as long as everyone keeps an eye on the clock this year, if there is a bigger crowd, then that's just fine by me.
And so what kind of speeds do you have to travel at? I mean, it's you have to go some to get there on time, don't you, really?
Well, it's not a flat route, so it's quite hilly, but you have to generally keep it about 20 miles an hour, which means you have to go faster down the hills, and then obviously to make up for the time when you're going slower down the hill, up the hills. But yeah, so it's a fairly hairy pace, so that's why really you need a geared bike. Or if you haven't got a geared bike, then if you've got fixed gear, for example, then it might be a good idea if you want to get there in time for the sunrise to leave a bit earlier. And then, you know, likelihood would be you'd meet us en route.
And so for people who fancy it and it's their first time, What do they need to do?
Yeah, well, make sure the bike's all right, a couple of spare tubes. It rained in the middle of the night for a short spell last year, so you'll need waterproofs. And warm clothes for when you get there, and obviously a bit of money for your breakfast as well.
So once you've got to Stonehenge and you've seen the sunrise, what happens then?
Well, there's a couple of options. You can, if you're brave or stupid, then you can ride back to London, which a couple of people did from our group last year. Fair play to them. We went to Salisbury and had a kip in the cathedral gardens, and then had a bit of breakfast and then got the train back. But yeah, there's a couple of stations you can get the train from, actually.
And so for people who want to take part, what do they need to do?
They can just turn up, really. It's fairly straightforward. It's the Friday night, which I think is the 20th of June. And then we're going to meet at Hyde Park, Speaker's Corner, around about 8:30. We're leaving for 9 o'clock, pretty sharp, because I'm going to be watching the clock. So, yeah, bring yourself and your bike and bring some food, bring plenty of liquids and some warm clothes, and off we go.
Well, I hope to make it there myself for some epic wheel-sucking action, because I'm not really fast enough to lead a ride like that at that speed. Anyway, hope to see you there. If you don't fancy that, then the London Cycling Borough Groups will be organising their usual summer solstice ride. Look up on the your local borough group website for where the feeder ride comes for that. Ends up in Primrose Hill to watch the sunrise at 4:43 a.m., followed by various fried breakfast experiences. Taking us up to the hour is Robin Hitchcock with Only the Stones Remain. And after that, on Resonance 104.4 FM, it's the pleasure of Slum Dunk. Bike Show will be back next week with a special on Lidos and cycling.
Fresh young bow. Soldiers crossed their hearts and died, and pretty girls turned cold inside, but now they're gone. Ah, yeah, only the stones remain. Oh, they're gone, yeah, only the stones remain. And the stones have forgotten them. The stones have forgotten them. They break your body and drain the life out of it. It sinks into the soul while the soul flies up into the air.